Last week, I started sharing with you a message out of the book of Hebrews where we're talking about maturity. And I think it was kind of a heavy message because it's going to be difficult to stop and consider, how am I maturing? And we looked at some difficult, maybe difficult, not so difficult passages. And I want to just review a few of the thoughts that I had for you last week very quickly, because I want to move on into a couple of other passages on what it means to be mature in the kingdom of God. You know, when the writer of Hebrews started addressing the Jews, he said at this time, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. Who wants to be accused of dull of hearing? And I don't think he means they needed hearing aids like me. That's not what he meant. He meant, you're not seeking to understand. You're not listening with the intent of learning anything else about God or drawing closer to him. You've kind of stopped listening. You stopped trying to understand. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. This is a heavy word, isn't it? Kind of weighty. You ought to be teachers by now. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word. And so last week we talked about, if I want to be mature, I got to be the opposite of what that dull of hearing is. I need to be willing to listen to understand. I want to keep growing and learning. By now we ought to be teachers. We all ought to be able to give instruction as we become more mature. As we grow in our relationship with God and we grow in our understanding of the scripture, we ought to be able to. Some people are legit gifted teachers. We're not all that, but we all ought to be able to talk about the basics of what the kingdom of God are. We also mentioned that people who are mature should be skilled in the word, understanding the word of God, what it teaches, what its overall narrative and story are. That would be a sign of maturity in the kingdom of God. And we kind of went, ouch, some of this stuff kind of stings. But solid food is for the mature. That's our key word, mature, those that are mature. For those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice of distinguishing good from evil. There is good and evil in the world. And God calls us to distinguish that. The more we know God, the more we understand the difference. God is the source of all good. Anything that is good has some echo of who he is and his character and nature. And everything that is evil has an echo of things that are not him. And we learn to discern that over time. It's a sign of maturity. And that's where I left off, and I want to pick up again with the foundation. And I made this statement. It's a little bit uncomfortable. God expects us to become mature in a spiritual way and very obviously in a natural way. Remember, I joked last week, when my babies were babies, when my kids were little and they had a nightmare and they need fed in the night and they came in my bedroom, I had to feed them. I have a responsibility for them. They're immature. But I told you, if Johnny comes into my bedroom tonight and wants me to feed him, we're going to have a chat. Time to grow up, boy. Feed yourself. Come on. And we talked about growing up, not in an oppressive, negative, ridiculing you kind of way, but God really just expects us to grow up in the natural, even the seeds we planted in the garden. Remember, we talked about corn. And if corn only grew to about here and went, I'm good, we'd be like, no, you're not. That's not what you're made for. You don't just get to this point and stop. We grow to the point of fruitfulness. We grow towards maturity. This is God's call, part of God's call in our lives. God expects us to become mature, and God expects us to participate in leading others towards maturity. Christianity and giving our lives to Christ and being a part of the community means that we're actually a functional part of that community. Not just an individual on a journey with Christ, but we are the body of Christ. We're the collection of parts who is working together to grow towards maturity and encouraging one another in it. In some ways, you help me grow, and in some ways, I help you grow. And that's how that's God's design for the church. Paul said, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. And here's the key phrase for today, that we may present everyone mature. Paul is expecting to coach and lead and teach and encourage God's people to the point where he can present them as mature, not immature. And the writer of Hebrews is challenging the people. You are staying immature. You need to grow on towards maturity. Again, not in an oppressive way, but he's not willing to settle for a childish form of faith. He wants them to grow up. Talked about discerning good and evil. Talking about we ought to be teachers by now. We talked about seeking to understand. Talked about being skilled in the word. And now I want to just hit this before we move on to other passages. He says, let's leave the elementary doctrine and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation. Now, I want you to think about it. Yeah. Anyway, anybody want a new house? Yeah. Anyway. Imagine I come out and see my new house, and you get out there, and all there is concrete in the ground and a foundation. And I'm sitting on the edge of my new house. What do you think of my new house? Well, I guess I can envision it being a new house at some point. You don't like it? It's just, that makes no sense, does it? It's just a foundation. Something still needs to be built. It's not done. We need to move beyond the foundation to start building the walls and putting the insulation in and the roof and the heating system and all the things. Electrical, plumbing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if we don't go beyond that, we're just sitting at the foundational level. And how many of us are content to just sit there and be okay with it? I'm good enough. My life is good enough. I've grown enough. I don't need to grow anymore. No, God's called us to keep building. Now, it's kind of funny. The construction analogy breaks down. In reality, our lives are still always being built, like a house. Like my house is never really finished anyway. It just keeps going. And as soon as I'm done with one thing, I go back to something I did a while ago. And sometimes we got to tear down this and do a little remodeling because something's a little bit off. Or maybe something in my foundation is kind of messed up. I got to dig down there to the foundation. I got to pull out the stuff that doesn't work and put in new stuff. Because I'm building something. It's my life. And God's building the church, and it's the church. And it's not enough for the church to just stay in the baby phase, drinking milk. It's time to move on to some red meat. Beef is what's for dinner. Okay. So that was a look at Hebrews. I want to move on to Philippians chapter 3 because here's what I'm asking myself and I want you to be asking yourself. When God expects us to be growing towards maturity, what are some of those signs of maturity? We looked at some in Hebrews. What are those handholds I can grab and just kind of look at them and go, oh, this is maturity. How does this look in my life? Again, not to be self-condemning, but to just look and say, God, what do you want me to grow in next? What's the next step in my maturity that I should grow into? I mean, think about the phases in which something grows. All the different years that your children or we as people grew up. We didn't skip phases. We had to go through the different things in order to get where we are. And our relationship with God is like that. And it's okay. By the way, I mentioned this last week, but if you're a baby in Christ, that's okay. That's where we start. We start with the milk. If you legitimately are in that phase, then that's great. Let's just keep doing that and keep moving forward. I can't expect my baby to feed themselves, can I? They're not going to wake up the next day and be a 20-year-old. That's not how it works. So I just want to say it's okay. I want to be sure that you understand this is about growing and learning. But if you've been a believer for 25 years and nothing has changed, you haven't grown in anything yet, maybe God hasn't challenged anything in your life, I would say, hey, you need to take a look in the mirror. Maybe look at some of these maturity things and go, what is God wanting me to do next with my life? How does he want me to grow? So I want to look at this passage in Philippians where Paul is writing. Now These two passages in Philippians and Ephesians that I'm going to cover today are rich with a lot of different things. Okay, so we could camp out for weeks on these learning. But I just want to look for those things that Paul is speaking about when it comes to maturity. He says this. These are harsh words. Look out for the dogs. You think he really meant the local strays? He's talking about people. He's being harsh here. He's like, these... And if you know the whole story of Paul, you'll understand that he does not tolerate people that are trying to divide or deceive Christians. He does not tolerate it. He goes after them. And that's the case here. The evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. wow, what does that mean? What does that mean? If you're unfamiliar with Jewish history or their culture or their laws, circumcision was a sign of their covenant. And one of the things that the early church battled was the Jewish believers trying to continue with the Old Testament law and trying to get Christians to follow that. And Paul comes after them. He's not okay with it. And he challenges them. That's a story for a whole nother day. Paul is not having it. And then he says this, put no confidence in the flesh. And put no confidence in the flesh. Now, when you think of the word flesh, what do you think of? A lot of times when we're reading the scripture and we see something flesh, we think fleshly sin, you know, kind of lustful and greed and all these things when we think flesh. That's actually not what Paul's talking about here. He puts no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul is talking about having a superiority in his religious exercises. See, this is what we do. We tend to, I mean, if I were to put it in more modern terms, I might say something like this. I'm just going to make this up as I go, so bear with me. You know, what would my confidence in the flesh be? Nobody has more reason for confidence than me. I planted 10 churches, and I went to Bible college, and I've been to church every day for 25 years. I memorized the whole first chapter of the book of John, and I've prayed for 10 people to give their lives to Christ. I have every reason to boast. Or not. That's what that's about. It's about having a very surfacey, legalistic kind of my works are what make me good. All my good deeds are what add up to my confidence. And Paul's saying, I had all of that. I was above anybody, and he was. He was a very zealous, very powerful Pharisee, very educated in the Jewish ways. And when he comes to realize who Christ is, he lays that all down. That's not where his confidence comes from. And so then when I start fast-forwarding into modern times going, what does it mean for me to not have confidence in the flesh? I mean, I'm getting close to 50, and I'm definitely losing some confidence in the flesh. Right? Ain't what I once was. But that's not what it's talking about. It's about all the good sort of self-righteous deeds just going through the motions. And forgetting who Christ really is. It's about just being religious. Religious and relationship with Christ are different. Religious is just routine practices. Just you do it over and over because you think that it somehow makes you better. But there's more to it than that. If we're not getting to the underlying reason for those practices, which is relationship with Christ, we've missed the point. Are you with me? So here's the thing. We don't have confidence in our own ability to save ourselves, to make ourselves great. In all of our good deeds, that's not what we rely on. That's to have the cart before the horse. We want to work. We want to work hard. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But this is all about Jesus and his kingdom and us working it because we love him and we care about others. Not about earning some right to go to heaven. That doesn't happen. Paul had a pedigree, but he lays it down. Are we willing to lay down our pedigree, our religious pedigree? Well, I was baptized when I was 5. I'm good to go. It's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So what's he saying? Counting it as loss. It's not worth as much. The value of material goods or this value of fleshly righteousness, he's going to let it all go. It doesn't matter anymore. It's not really what it's about. I now count them as not worth anything compared to what Jesus has done. That I will go on to a resurrected body someday. That I will fulfill the calling of God on my life in the long run. And it doesn't just a vapor of a life that we live in here. It's over. But God is bringing new creation back, the Bible teaches us. He's going to recreate all things new. And we're going to be a part of that. And our body, the Bible says our body will be like his resurrected body, which we learned at Easter and talked about. Now, if that's all true, then how important should the little things of today matter? Of course they matter, but they're not of the utmost value. They're not what we pursue in comparison to knowing Christ. A sign of maturity would be the ability to count Jesus as the most valuable and laying aside all those other things. Not having confidence in the flesh, counting everything as loss. And then he goes on to say, that I may know him. That I may know him. Not know about him, that I may know him. Jesus said, surely I am with you always till the end of the age, when he ascended into heaven, right? Go and make disciples and wait. He tells them, go wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus is with us through his Holy Spirit. He said, I'll build my church. And he's been building it ever since, and it continues to grow. But it's not just knowing about him, it's knowing him because he is here. He is with you. Do you believe that? That can be hard to believe sometimes. Is Jesus really actually present in some way? Yes, absolutely. I like to joke about my daughter's coffee cup that has a little sticker on it that says, I saw that, and has Jesus on there. That's not very comfortable, is it? But it's real. He's there. And he's not sitting there going, grow up. He's going, come on, let's grow up. Let's take the next step. I love you. I care about you. I want you to grow. I want you to find real freedom. Freedom from the chains of earth, the earthly life. I want you to find freedom in that. I'm going to walk with you. Paul's saying he wants to know him and the power of his resurrection. We could add that in there. But this is a sign of maturity, that we would really have that sense of knowing him and really knowing what that power of his resurrection is about. Now, Paul's talking both future tense and present tense, and may share in his sufferings. We don't like this one. When we're suffering for some reason, we feel like something is wrong. Well, something is wrong. The world's broken. It was broken by sin. And Jesus came and he suffered as man does, and unjustly, by the way, in his case. And then the scripture calls us that we share that. So when we're going through suffering, we recognize that he has suffered with us. Becoming like him in his death, and Paul did, didn't he? Paul paid the ultimate price. It cost him his life because he was a Christian. He was beheaded in Rome. But he left his mark. He shared in the sufferings. I don't think we probably have a real thorough or real good enough doctrine of suffering. What does it mean? Bible says to embrace the suffering, for God is treating you as sons. You know, when we receive suffering, we're educated by that. When we go through difficult things, we grow. It's part of the journey. Sign of maturity would be the willingness to suffer like he did. Sometimes that's just part of life. Not that I've already obtained all this. Paul sees himself very accurately. He's not seeing himself in a high and lofty way. He's saying, I haven't achieved all this. There's a humble realization that he is in a process. He has a deposit of it. He knows what's coming. That gives him hope, the hope of glory. He's looking at it. He sees it. He already has it in some sense. But he knows the process isn't over until the other side, till his work is done. So he's humble, he's realizing he's in process. He's not viewing himself as, okay, I'm good to go. I've arrived. It's just like we talked about the plant. I've grown to a certain point, good enough. I'm not growing anymore. I'm not going to embrace any more change. I'm not going to challenge my thinking in any way. I've just arrived. But Paul says, I haven't obtained all these promises of God yet. He understands and sees himself accurately. You can sense there's even a humility in this. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own. Again, another humble statement. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Why? We know God forgives. We know he has grace and mercy every morning. We don't always understand why the bad things in life happen, other than sin broke creation. And that's a part of our journey now until he returns. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. There's an effort here. Paul is mature. He is always pressing on. He's letting go of the past. He's moving forward to the next thing. Again, it's just similar to what we just mentioned in the previous point. He's not settled where he is. Could I unsettle you a little bit this morning? Is that all right? Don't settle for where you are. You know, sometimes we get smacked in the face by life and we're laid out on the ground and it might take us a little bit to recover, but let's link arms with our friends and link arms with Jesus and let's get up and keep going. Let's press on. Towards what? The prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. All of those things that God has for you in this life to do and be a part of. And all the things that are to come. Let those of us who are mature think in this way. I should have shared this before I shared the rest of the passage, but it's what triggered me in thinking about this. Paul, wait a minute. Let those of us who are mature think in this way. What way, Paul? All the things I just shared. Let's think in those ways with those things in our minds as signs of maturity to become. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. I want to talk about that, again, that idea of process a little bit, and just I'll say it again this week that I don't believe everything exactly the same as I did 25 years ago. I hope you don't either. Because we're always growing and we're always learning. We don't depart from the faith, but we learn more and more as we go about who God is. And when we've reached a point where we go, I don't need to know anymore. I know enough. There's nothing else I need to learn. I've arrived. I don't want to change. I don't like any new ideas. I don't like any new information. I'm just going to sit here and stagnate. And that's what you do. You stagnate. Because God is a God who brings things to maturity. And to remind us all, maturity produces fruit. When a plant is fully grown, remember, produces fruit. When the tree becomes mature, it produces its fruit. When a person becomes mature, they produce fruit, both in the natural, but also in other ways. All right. I also want to look at Ephesians chapter 4 for some other signs of that we can look at and go, what does it mean to be mature? Ephesians chapter 4 is loaded. Again, we could spend many hours talking about what all is taught here, but I'm looking for those things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for work of ministry. Why? For the building up of the body of Christ. There's an expectation that the body of Christ will grow, the body of Christ will become mature, until, key word, until, there's a goal. There's a timeline here, we're going towards something. Okay, I'm going to preach until 11:45. That's a joke. Making sure you're awake. I'm going to preach until 11-ish. And so, you have something to anticipate. You're looking forward to it. Gracie is graduating from high school today, this afternoon. We got a graduation. You know, she started out at, congratulations, and really congratulations to all our graduating seniors. There's this idea, though, that she went to kindergarten about 3 weeks ago, as far as I could tell. And you're going to go to school until there's an appointed time that. This is the expectation that you're going towards. Why are we building up the body of Christ? Until we all attain the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. What does this mean? Paul is constantly talking about unity. He wants us to be unified. Not unified with the worldly concepts. Not unified with ungodly things. But that the body of Christ itself would be unified. He implores us early on in Ephesians. I'm just going to read it to you. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, because he was in prison when he was writing this, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Paul is all about unifying these guys, because let's face it, We're human, and we divide. We disagree. We go separate ways. Paul's challenging us, don't let the little things separate you. Be unified. That's a sign of maturity. If I can't compromise with people, if I can't find mutual agreement or agree to disagree about the trivial matters, that's a tough road to live. Road to live? Whatever. That's a tough road to walk. I mean, imagine living out your marriage like that. I'm never going to change. You're the one that's going to have to change. I like that you're giggling at that. That ain't how it works. We have to work together. We have to find common ground. Scripture really challenges us in this. I wish the world around us that's in so much division and hatred and anger right now could grasp some of this. Wouldn't it be wonderful? But this is what the body of Christ is called to represent and be. Peace, unity, patient, bearing with one another. Paul is challenging us to grow in a unity of the faith, not to embrace false or evil things, but as far as we're the body of Christ, let's be unified. Let's do everything we can to be unified. And the knowledge of the Son of God. I could have highlighted that, but I did earlier, this idea of knowing God, knowing Christ, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. Okay, here we see the children analogy again. What's Paul saying? We need to grow past the point of being children. And what happens with children? They're tossed to and fro. If we're growing towards maturity, then we have our sights set on the day where every wind of doctrine, by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. When we become mature, we become more stable, more consistent. You know, you just remember those experiences you have when you're a kid or you're particularly in your teen years where like this fashion sweeps in. Remember Lucky jeans? Now, I'm not talking about the Lucky jeans at Costco for $25. Those stupid things were $125 when I was a kid. Remember that? Or whatever the latest, greatest fashion that sweeps in and catches all the kids up and like, I gotta have that. What is it these days? What's the big thing? Come on, you young people. What if you had to go out, your mom's gonna go out and buy you whatever you want that's really cool today, what would it be? Cool water bottles? Yeah. It's true. Those like 25-pound metal water bottles that you break your foot with if you drop them? One of those things I'll never understand. There's lots of stuff like that, isn't there? But doctrine is like that. If you really study the history of the church and look at the wind and the waves of doctrines as they come and go, lots of them don't hold up to time. They don't hold up to the scripture over time. They get embraced for seasons and everybody's on board and rah, 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 and then it falls apart at some point. It's part of the journey. I get it. We want to be growing and sometimes we make mistakes. But we do not want to get swept up in the wind and the waves of the time. Also talking about other things, not just about doctrine, human cunning. Let's face it, not everybody has your best interest at heart. People can be cunning to get their way. And there we go. Guess we're starting over there. Human cunning, deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love. Here's another sign of maturity. Can you speak the truth and can you do it in love? Because those are two very important components. Like, you can speak the truth with no love. That's not very fun. It actually can be very mean and unhelpful. Now, some people, you know, maybe we know people like that. They're like, they're going to be right all the time and they're never going to be nice about it. And that's wrong. That is not what we're called to. Now, the opposite can be true. I'm so loving, I can't tell you the truth. It'll hurt your feelings. There's that side of it too, isn't there? Did your old man tan your hide when you were a kid? You know, don't raise your hands. You might get arrested. Now, there's a reason. There's a love there, right? Now, sometimes discipline comes because of love. But that also can be get overboard or taken too far, can't it? So we want to be able to speak the truth, and we want to be able to do that in love. Do I have a right heart for people when I'm trying to speak what I think is true? And all the while humble, realizing I actually could be wrong. We always have to have that somewhere, like not to be weak pushover, but there needs to be enough humility to know that I've been wrong before. I've changed my mind about things over time. So even though I'm pretty sure I'm right now, if I have that humility, then I can love very effectively when I'm speaking the truth. But if I don't have that, it's not likely to help anything. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. Again, there's this idea, growth is expected. Maturity is expected. We're called to continually develop, and I just, working properly. Again, it just reminds me of this. I don't like it when Christianity is kind of shrunk down to this really simple idea that all I have to do is pray this prayer, and that's it. That's not what, no. That's not what Jesus said he was going to build. That's not what he instructed us to do when he left the planet. I don't want to make too light of that. We all have a moment where we surrender to Christ. It's very important. But when we've dumbed down the gospel to the point where that's all you have to do and you're good to go, we've completely missed the point. We are called to become a kingdom. What did Jesus preach? The kingdom is at hand. This place of my jurisdiction, my rule and reign, and I'm gathering my people together. There's a coming together, a community, joining together, encouraging and strengthening one another, representing him in the earth. This is not an individual experience. It's a collective experience. But there is working that happens, and that's what I really wanted to get at. We don't earn our place with God by our good works. We know that. But that does not mean we don't work. We should work hard in whatever way God has called us. We're called to build something. That's exciting to me. To build something, not attend something, not go through some simple religious practices. We're called to build something together. We're called to have an impact in our generation, in our lifetime, with our community, in our surrounding region, and even in the nations. And we are. You guys are. And it's amazing. We are called to be a functional, working properly part of the body of Christ. That would be a sign of maturity. Now, we could all, properly is subjective, isn't it? Work properly. That might be subject to other people's opinions, but that's a constant pursuit, right? We're always learning, God, what do you want me to do next? What's right in this situation? How do I grow from this point? So important. So here's my list. Better get out your phone and take a picture because this is good stuff. Speaking of humility, right? So out of the passages that we studied last week and this week, here's how I phrase some of these things about what does it mean to be mature in my relationship with Christ as a part of the body of Christ and in my understanding. I seek to understand. I'm able to teach. I'm skilled in the word. Discern good and evil. Build beyond the foundation. Not having confidence in the flesh. Counting everything as loss. Realizing that what is in Christ is so much more valuable than anything in this life. Know and become like him. Not afraid of suffering. Understand that we are an incomplete work. We're always in process. There's always a next step. And in that next step, we press on. We persevere. We keep going. If you need help keeping going, if you feel like I said earlier, you know, sometimes life just hits you in the face and flattens you out. If you need help getting up, talk to somebody. Talk to one of your friends. Talk to me. I'll help you. Let's get up. Let's go. That's what you do when two are together. One lifts the other up and they can keep going. Let's press on together, seeking unity, not tossed to and fro. speaking the truth in love, and working in the body of Christ. Would you stand, please? Did I challenge you a little bit? I'm challenged. Was I mean? A little bit. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're provoked. I hope you took me seriously last week when I said, you know, let's grow in our maturity, be thinking about these things, asking God this question. What steps do I have to take next to become more mature? What's the next step of my growth process? How do I get to a point of being more fruitful in my life? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for our friends and loved ones, this family, this body that you brought together here in this building and all over the city that meets today, that honor you and worship you, those that seek you. Thank you that we get to be a part of something so much bigger than ourselves, something that brings life, something that brings freedom like nothing else the world knows. Lord, I pray that in these scriptures that we've examined and these points we've talked about, God, that we're not going to remember all of them necessarily, but Lord, I pray for every person there'd be something to grab to help them take one more step closer to you, one more step towards fruitfulness. I pray that in that process, everyone would have that sense of your love and presence with them, because you are. Lord, that it would be felt, that hope and that confidence that comes with you and your presence would be felt, that we might have the courage and the will to take whatever step is next for us. Pray all these things in your name. Bless my friends today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, anything at all, our prayer team over here on the left, they'd love to pray with you. Don't be scared. Approach them. You guys will have a great holiday. We'll see you back here next Sunday. And grab your bookmark on the way out. Read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18.